You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
There are two kinds of people in the world. Those who say, I have no idea where my money went. And those who say, every rand I earn has a job to do. Tracking your spending and building a budget may sound like the same thing, but they are fundamentally different muscles in the money gym. One tells you where your money has gone, the other decides where it will go. But when used together, these two tools become the blueprint for financial confidence, for clarity, and control. Tonight, we're not just talking about expenses and spreadsheets. We're talking about freedom, the kind that comes from finally understanding your habits, confronting your blind spots, and building a money rhythm that works for you. Our guest brings a refreshing, deeply grounded perspective to this chat. Kgomoditswe Magube is a privacy attorney by profession and a lay preacher at Sandton Seventh-day Adventist Church by calling. She's someone who doesn't just talk about managing money. She filters her financial thinking through faith, purpose, and principles. Whether it's a career, contentment, or compound interest, her aim is simple: to live wisely and biblically. She brings both analytical clarity and spiritual insight. And today, she's here to help us unpack one of the most misunderstood aspects of personal finance, the difference between budgeting and tracking. So whether you've got five apps, five spreadsheets, or five rand to your name, this conversation is for you. Kgomo, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am doing well. Keeping warm in this weather.
Kgomo, do you remember me from back in the days, Mara?
My memory is like
no. Oh, no. That's fine. That's fine. We're not here to reminisce. We're here to set the people free, to let them know how to better manage their finances. So let's start right at the top. What's the real difference between tracking your spending and budgeting? Why does that distinction even matter?
So it's quite important, as you mentioned. Budgeting is basically determining how you should spend your money, which is actually a very biblical concept, right? You find in scripture this principle of having a very systematic way of how you spend your money. And we know this term called systematic benevolence. So there's this principle that we mustn't be impulsive when it comes to spending money. So under the banner of budgeting, you know, there's this biblical principle also that we find in Luke 14, 25 to 28.
Yeah.
Though Christ here, yes, is talking about the cost of being a disciple, but he makes this illustration, which speaks to what budgeting is about, right? He says that suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish.
Yep.
All right. So budgeting really speaks to planning and having a systematic way of spending your money versus tracking. Now you've got a plan in place. Are you keeping to that plan? And we'll talk this evening a bit of some tips of how to go about that.
Love that. Absolutely love that. Have you found that most people do one but not the other? And what are the dangers of only tracking or only budgeting?
So I find that a lot of people have a budget. Most people budget, right?
Most people. Is it really most people?
Sorry?
Is it really most people?
When I say, well, comparing the two of who's budgeting
and who's tracking.
Who's tracking only.
Fantastic.
So I think more people, rather, are budgeting, but that budget is sitting at the corner there in their mind or sitting in an Excel spreadsheet, and they're not really keeping track.
Yeah.
Okay. And so which is then the problem, because then that budget means actually nothing much, truly. And that's why, I mean, I even have a statement here. This concept of budgeting and tracking is so biblical, where even in Adventist home, you know, she talks about that, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. Every member of the family, from the oldest down to the youngest, may take part in this work of benevolence. The plan of systematic benevolence will prove a safeguard to every family against temptation to spend means for needless things. Especially will it prove a blessing to the rich by guarding them from indulging in extravagance. In other words, what she's trying to say is everyone must budget and track so that you do not spend on needless things. So in most of us truly are budgeting, but we are not tracking, and that's why we are spending things, spending money rather, on needless things.
That's so interesting. Why would anyone budget and not track? For me, that doesn't tally. So where's the disconnect?
I think the disconnect is because we don't really understand the benefits of budgeting.
Okay.
So here, or rather the benefits of budgeting tracking, and what you're actually trying to achieve with that, so that you are, you know, you have some sort of follow through and track. So the benefits of budgeting, because some people are just budgeting for the sake of budgeting, right?
Because they said we should do it.
You know, to feel like, okay, no, I did something, okay?
Yeah.
So the advantages of budgeting are, number one, to know where your money is going. I think if you ask people during December specifically, like clueless, they don't know. To have some sort of control over your spending and your savings. Also, the other advantage is to, you know, cut unnecessary expenses out and to put money towards saving for something, and possibly something that you really like, and also to avoid getting into debt. So if you don't really understand the value of budgeting together with the value of tracking, and you don't really know why you're doing it, I think that's where the disconnect then comes in.
I hear you. And, you know, I've been thinking about this quite a bit, and I wonder if you can lend your mind to this. What can a person learn about themselves from just tracking their spending for 30 days?
All right. So in order to answer that question, let's just talk about a little bit more about budgeting and tracking, right?
Yes.
So basic principles about budgeting is you want to know where every cent is going. So the advice that is out there is you will firstly and foremost divide your budget into two main categories. The first one being fixed expenses and the second one being variable expenses. And so under your fixed expenses, you would have things, or rather your fixed expenses and what you spend your money on is determined by your values and your goals.
For
now,
sure.
If you're a Christian, obviously, hopefully under your fixed expenses, you'll have things like tithe that we get from Malachi 3 verse 10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. You'll have a frugal offering, Deuteronomy 16 verse 17, each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord God has blessed you. So a generous offering. And also Deuteronomy 15 verse 7, if anyone is poor among you, your fellow Israelites, in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God has given you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fitted toward them. So under your fixed expenses, you've got tithe, you've got offering, something to give to the needy, you've got utility bills, rent, bond payments, insurance, bank fees. So you have to plot that down and know what you're spending or how much you intend to spend towards that, and then have your variable expenses, which is a section regarding your variable expenses, which is your groceries, toiletries, data, transport, petrol, entertainment, and things along those lines, right?
And so
I think where we are failing is because we haven't done this. And even when we budget, we don't have something that's very realistic all right, about what is actually going on. And so once you've plotted these amounts down, then you compare it to how much money you actually are earning, okay? Yeah. To see if, are you in the positive or are you in the negative? And, you know, there are certain formulas that are out there. Some people say 50% towards fixed expenses, 30% to flexible costs, 20% to savings. Look, it all depends on your values and your financial goals, right?
Yeah.
So if you can, at the very least, start. And once you have something realistic, then you're at least more encouraged to start tracking. Because you'll find that a lot of the budgets that we have, it's ideals that we have in our heads, what we really want to do, but we know deep down we're not going to do it. We're not going to achieve it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So really, I think that's where the disconnect comes in.
I hear you. Do you mind giving us a glimpse into what your own budgeting process looks like? Is it fashioned after what you just detailed to us? And I'm also wondering, how has it evolved over time? Because I can imagine with being a student and then working and promotions and all of those things, it can change. So how has the evolution of your budgeting been like, and what does it actually look like?
So, as I mentioned, that budgeting really does depend on, number one, your values, and in addition to that, your financial goals, all right?
Yeah.
And your financial goals are determined by where you are in life. So, obviously, if you're a new graduate, it's going to be slightly different or much different from somebody who's a mother. And who's now have kids and school fees and all of that. And so in order for me to sort of determine where I am right now, or rather to give you insight into my own budgeting of where I am financially, I just want to mention two verses. The first one is Proverbs 16, verse 9. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps.
Yeah.
And then James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So where you are in life, I honestly advise for you to seek counsel from the Lord on how to sort of plan your finances. And in addition to that, seek specifically Christian financial advisors. That's very important, because you need somebody who aligns with your value system.
Yeah.
Because sometimes some financial advisors will overemphasize putting money away and ignore the whole tithing thing.
Sure.
So where I am personally in my own life right now is, obviously, I'm not married, I don't have kids. So I am more in a saving season, all right? Because I don't have as many variable costs or fixed costs as someone who is married with kids. And so I even have sort of like an illustration, right?
Please,
of someone who, who's, let's say, a new graduate, right? A new graduate who just is earning 20,000, so their net is around 17, right? And so, you know, you see a situation where about 50% is going to fix, because they've got like 2,000 rand tithe, 600 rands offering, which is about 3%, maybe another 0.5% going to the Adventist Community Services, like another 100 rands. They're sending 1,000 rands to their mother. They've got rent about 4,000 rands, electricity about 400 rands, and bank charges about 120. That's like 8.2 of fixed costs. And then the variable costs is about like airtime. You know, airtime is a lot of money, 600 rands. Money towards entertainment, maybe like some Apple Music. You've got transport, which is 1.5, toiletries, you know, maybe the simple girl, 500 rand, food, 1.5, here again, simple girl, 300 rand, and miscellaneous entertainment, 1.2. That's about 33% or so towards variable costs, and left over, or rather savings, is about 3,000 rand, which is about 17%, right, of the net. So if I was a new graduate, or that is how my percentage that sort of looks like, being somebody who's single, not married, you've got about 50% towards fixed. You know, you're saving about 15 to 20%, and your variable costs are around 30%.
How much value?
But like this is for a single person.
Yes, yes. How much value do you place on investing or investments? I heard you mention saving. You mentioned it for yourself, that that's a season you're in, but also just what the young graduates would do, right? How much value do you place on investments?
So, look, I'm not a financial advisor, but for my own self, obviously, you've got about three categories under the banner of sort of saving and investments, right?
Yeah.
So you've got number one, saving towards retirement pension, which, you know, for most people, it's between about 13 and 15%. Then in addition to that, you can then have sort of your savings towards your savings that you can put into investments, whether it be a unit trust, or maybe a side account that you want to put your money away in. And if you among the rich or even have additional money above that, you would then maybe even invest in certain companies or invest in property and all of that. But I think for most people, it'll be two things: saving towards retirement and sort of having an additional savings account, like a unit trust, where you're saving at minimum 10% of your income, so that you can build what most people or advisors talk about, an emergency fund, where you have about 3 to 6 months of your expenses in there. So for me, I was somebody who was in terrible debt, where I got out of it a few years ago. So I'm in a phase in my life where, you know, I use the Dave Ramsey's five-step program, which I won't go into today. But I'm on the step three, where you are now building your emergency fund, but also saving towards retirement. So I think that's quite important, but it all depends on your fixed
expenses. And where you are,
if you actually have extra.
Gekho, what do you have to say to people who don't have a separate retirement annuity, rather, because their employer has a pension fund thingy going on for them? Do you think that's wise? Do you think that's wise?
Look, as long as the way I understood it, especially because I have I had a financial advisor who used to help me. If it's meeting, or rather, you need to determine what your financial goals are in terms of retirement. So if maybe you want to save 13% or 15% and your employer is helping you save 10%, then you need to top it up yourself another 5% and have some sort of retirement policy sitting somewhere. So there's nothing wrong with your employer helping you, but you need to determine what your goals are, right? And so if the employer is helping you do the full 15% that you want to do, great. But if it's only a portion that you, then you need to top it up yourself.
Yeah, that is sage. There's no emotion behind it. There's nothing that isn't logical about it. I absolutely love that. Now, here's the thing, Kehuna. People budget. They set their budget. They're tracking. And then life happens. How can someone balance being consistent with also being realistic?
All right. So it all starts off with the actual budget that you put in place. The proportions that you've decided. Being you know, your fixed expenses versus your flexible costs versus how much you're saving. So let's say you've got a realistic budget.
Mm.
Now you need to track it. So these are certain tips that you can implement in order to track it, and so that life doesn't happen to you, even though life is happening. And when I say life doesn't happen to you, so that things don't fall apart, despite having this great budget.
Yeah.
So beautiful verse, Proverbs 13, verse 16, a wise man thinks ahead,
yep.
a fool doesn't, and even brags about it.
Yeah.
Proverbs 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty.
Mm.
So obviously we've got the apps that are out there. You can also have your Excel spreadsheet. So it starts off, whether you're using the apps on Excel spreadsheet, it starts off by actually having a spending journal. You need to record every transaction that you make, especially at the starting stages where you feel like you are not under control of your spending.
Mm.
Record every transaction. If you must, carry a book around and write, okay, I just bought something for 30 rand.
Yep.
I just bought that. And include details,
you
know, time, place, and the reason for spending. And then open that journal at least once a week and see yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. See the damage you've done.
See yourself. And see yourself. Review your entries to identify unnecessary expenses and patterns.
Yeah.
And so when you start actually writing down every single amount that you spend and why and when, then you have even, you know, you're looking into the mirror, like, you know, in scripture it talks about, you know, the law of God is like a mirror.
Mm.
You know, you see yourself, it's like, oh my goodness, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And so if you have a journal, that's a nice start. But even after that, then you check your accounts regularly.
Yeah.
Check, actually, you know, don't rely on your memory.
Mm.
Actually see, monitor your accounts. But what also helps is having spending limits on your accounts.
Mm.
I remember growing up, my dad used to have a 250 daily limit.
250?
Okay. Granted, you know, it was back in the day.
Okay.
But my dad was... So if you wanted large amounts, like if I needed 500 rands for textbooks, if I needed for Wednesday, I'd have to tell my dad by Monday.
Sure.
Because if I tell him on Tuesday, he won't have it because he needs to go into the bank to get the money. You know, old people. But look, it helped him to save quite well.
Mm.
So having, I'm not saying have 250, but these spending limits that really put certain controls over how you actually spend your money.
Yeah.
What also helps is, when you do want to invest or put money away, like put it in a unit trust where you can only get it in 2 business days.
Mm.
You can't just get the money now.
And I think what also happens in that time, there's a rule that they call, I think it's the 24-hour or 48-hour rule, where they say if you're still thinking about that thing and you really need it, then after 24 or 48 hours, you can go and get it. I think that's also the I guess the same mentality or mindset that kind of thing instills.
Exactly. And even more so if you want to spend something or buy something now, but you know you're only going to get the money in 2 working days. And 2 working days meaning like if you want to spend something on a Monday, Saturday, Sunday
don't count.
So you're only going to get it on Tuesday.
Yo.
So you'll end up even feeling like, I don't need this thing.
Yes. Yes.
So those things really do help as opposed to having a savings pocket.
Mm.
Because, you know, even when you see on social media, people will transfer money into their savings pocket, but over the month be transferring that money back into the daily accounts.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So a few more tips is things like plan meals and make shopping lists. You know, having a more
shopping
predictable
list.
Life.
Your shopping list will save you money.
Exactly.
It really will.
And little things like going to the shop having already eaten.
Ish.
Hello.
And that's the one, Mia, that one. Because in my mind, I'm like, I'll be so tired from the grocery shopping. I deserve a lunch out.
Exactly. So having a more predictable life, you know, really does help, especially in your meals, helps to track your spending and keep to the amount that you've set for your groceries, right? And little things also like unsubscribe from promotional emails, remove temptations.
Ish, you know, you said unsubscribe, Tsho, and you triggered me. Last week, I had 900 rand go off of my account because I forgot to cancel a subscription. Oh, my heart. My heart.
Exactly. So unsubscribe to certain things, but even here from to promotional emails because it's like temptations.
Yes, of they give you discounts.
And even now, it's even hard because... You know, you've got this Google, if you just click on a website, when you go to your emails, all the adverts are there now, you know. It's hard in this day and age, but where you can, you should. And I think before we sort of move to the next question, I just want to add these last two. You know, look for ways to reduce your expenses, maybe even consider finding more ways to make more money. But that mustn't be the ultimate, because sometimes we want to say to ourselves, let me spend this and then I'll find a way. I'll make a plan to get the money. And that's that makes us ready to lose track. And then lastly, if you can, involve someone that you trust. You know, sometimes secrecy allows for recklessness. So if somebody knows, or just one person knows what's happening in your finances, and having that accountability, that helps. And so that's why if you have like a husband and wife situation, you know, and people are transparent with each other, they can help to keep each other accountable. If you've got a financial advisor that knows what's happening in your life, can help you to keep you accountable. But secrecy, you know, a lot happens in the dark. As opposed to having some sort of accountability partner. And at the same time, as much as you are to be strict, do have a portion where you reward yourself.
Thank you. I was waiting for you to get to that part because and you know what? I'm quite disciplined where money is concerned. And this has been something that my sister has always mocked me about in the past. Because whenever my niece would be like, Nane, please get us this. And my sister would be like, is it in her budget? And I'd say, no, it's not. And they knew not to, and I don't want to say bother me, but like not to expect things that we hadn't sat down and spoken about, right? But the more I'm growing up, I'm just like, listen, life is so tough. You need to have money where it's just like, I can be, and you know, I'm going to use this word, but I hope you track with me, where I can just be reckless, put my head down, like, we need the fun budget.
which is okay. And this is the thing, right? When we talked about proportioning, said 50% for example towards fixed expenses, 20% towards savings, 30% towards variable expenses, and underneath that is entertainment.
Thank you.
Right? So within that you can have an entertainment, a fun budget. And I've even watched somebody who made a sort of like a YouTube video about his regrets about being too frugal because they feel like they've missed out on life a bit. They've missed out on experiences. There's certain trips that they didn't go, even though they could afford to go to, but they didn't go because they were so focused on savings. And now they've got all this money, but they didn't, they missed out on life. And so you need to include it. And I think if you do that, then you have this realistic budget that you feel like, or you are more, there's more chance for you to actually stick to it because it's not too restrictive.
Yes.
You're meeting your savings goals. You're meeting your obligations towards God. But at the same time, you know, you can go hiking.
Say someone's income is inconsistent, Kehu. Maybe they freelance or they hustle. How should they approach budgeting and tracking differently? Should there be a difference?
Of course, there will be a difference. Especially because, you know, you don't know what will come ahead. And so for them, unlike maybe someone who earns a salary every single month, they would have to plan maybe especially for fixed expenses for the next 3 months. All right. So it will be different like that, where for your fixed expenses, you might have a certain income. Instead of having fixed expenses for this month, you'll put away fixed expenses or money for fixed expenses for the next 3 months. And you might then reduce or try to minimize your variable expenses to keep them as low as possible so that your fixed expenses, money for your fixed expenses remains for the next 3 months. So it's more of planning ahead when it comes to the monthly expenses, as opposed to somebody who is, you know, getting a salary every single month. There's more planning ahead.
Sure, it requires way more discipline than somebody who actually has more money coming in. So I keep calling it, I don't know why. When we wake up in the morning, we will be in the second half of the year. What is one small budgeting habit someone can start tomorrow to end 2025 on a high note? And I know I'm talking about the end of 2025, and someone might be thinking, that's still too far. We literally just started the year, and here we are at the end of June. So what can somebody start doing tomorrow to build the discipline and the muscle within their budgeting habits, so that at the end of the year, they're not looking back like, I should have, oh, I could have, without any of those regrets?
I think one of the things that I personally saw a difference is, and it can even help you with a healthier lifestyle, is eating at home.
I don't like this advice. Next! I'm kidding.
Eating at home, making lunch. All right? Having the grocery list, I'm telling you, it can, for some of us, it can reduce your monthly expenditure on groceries possibly from 3,000 rands to 2,000 rands. And you can save an extra 1,000 rands every single month.
Listen, that 1,000 rand in your bond. Oh.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Because you actually eat at home. And eating at home and cooking your food is healthier. So that's something you can do right now. You don't have to wait for more money or it's not dependent on whether your landlord wants to raise your rent or not or anything like that. That's totally up to you. And also goes with being okay with the clothes that you have. You know, I for one, that's something you can do right now. I for one, if you look, if you do that journal and write down and see how much money you spend on clothes and all of that, you'll realize that actually maybe I might be overspending. And so if right now you say for the next 6 months, I'm not buying any new clothes, just for 6 months. Okay. I promise you what you have in your wardrobe is plus, it's I'm sure it's enough.
Just for 6 months. In 6 months, it's cold and hot. In just six months.
I'm sure you have winter clothes. I'm sure you have summer clothes. I'm sure. And I'm saying this as somebody who also I had to rebuke myself. I love sneakers. If I had to tell you how many pairs of sneakers I have, you'll judge me. But all right. And so even this year, I had to discipline myself to say no more sneakers. I have enough. So those two things are literally just, you can do it now. Eat at home and just put a pause. Okay, let's do it for 3 months. Put a pause on food and shoes.
Okay. Okay. You have, you know what? This, did you have the teacher in school who didn't really hit you, but their voice put the fear of God in your heart? So you didn't lash out at us, but like the way you were speaking is just like, yo, also those verses, oh, spirit of prophets, yo, you just can't run away from this one. You can't run away from this one. So let's leave on a very lighthearted note. Let's play a game. Okay. It's not just any game. This particular game is money, truth, or myth, right? So the rules are simple. I'll throw out a belief or a cliche or a controversial take on money. And then you tell me, is it truth? Is it a myth? Or it depends. And if you want to, you can unpack it for us. Cool?
Okay. I'm scared now.
Right, don't be scared. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And I think what it'll achieve is just have some people rethink some of the things they thought they knew about money and just their approach. So it's going to be a lot hard. So don't worry. The first one, a budget that doesn't include fun is a budget that's doomed to fail. Is this truth, myth, or it depends?
I would say truth.
Okay.
And I think it's something that we just discussed earlier.
Yes.
In a sense that, apologies, you need to have a budget that is not so restrictive.
Mm.
And obviously it depends where you are in life. You know, if some people are in a position where they really want to get out of debt,
then you've
just told yourself for the next year, I'm not doing anything fun if it needs money. Whatever fun I'm going to do is going to be free. Then it all depends on where you are. If you are on that plan of be trying to get out of debt, then it will succeed if you're focused. But for the ordinary person who's maybe financially they're a bit stable without that element of fun and even saving towards something or looking forward to a trip, you'll find that, you know, you'll have this all or nothing approach where because you've been so restrictive, then when you do spend on fun, you go above and beyond.
I would say it depends. And I think you touched on it. Like, there are people who actually need to budget. And not just budget, but like restrict also the fun things because all they know is fun. I think there are people who really need to get under the principle and habit of budgeting and those who need to let loose. So I would say fun is a necessary component for those who are very strict and tight, well, uptight. And then maybe for those who are really in financial danger, too much debt, are just really chaos when it comes to money, then maybe fun is not the answer. Or maybe responsible fun.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. But I feel like that's sort of like an exception because somebody is like really working towards something. They may not want to pay off school or debt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But for the average person, you need to have
100%.
It must be there. You know, unlike you're going to be like that person who did that YouTube video about his regrets about being too frugal. So I feel like maybe that's the exception of people who are trying to get out of debt. But for the ordinary person, if you don't have, it's going to fail.
Can I just read something? Can I just read something to you that came by WhatsApp? So this person says, oh, we need to live a little. That time, Earth is already burning to the ground. Any day now, siyagoduka. Imagine if this is my last chance to go to Spur. I don't know why Spur. But like, not even Disneyland. Spur.
You know, they're reminding me of the social media trend that goes, you know, it's not like 100 rands will buy a car. You know?
This is true. This is true.
But at the same time, if you've put it in your budget, you won't feel guilty because the money has been allocated to go to Spur.
So
you won't have to, you know, trick yourself on, you know, it's not like 100 rands will buy a car.
Yeah.
And you're spending your last money and money that wasn't allocated for
sure,
that.
For sure.
But if you put it in the budget, then you can with a clean conscience. This is 100 each. This is, we're not spending more than 500 to that.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to our second scenario or second statement. The person who tracks their money the most usually has the least money. Is this true? Is this a myth or it depends?
I think that's a myth. I think that's a myth. The reason why I say that is, you know, you hear this thing about rich people who are wealthy, are wealthy because you know, they count the pennies, or they ensure that the pennies are counted for. It's the wealthy people who find themselves on I blew it, who don't keep track.
Yeah.
But if you want to stay financially stable, you have to keep track. 100%. No matter how much money you think you have. Because right now in your mind, as somebody maybe who's not a millionaire, you know, you think that 10 million is a lot of money. But be given 10 million, you can finish that within 6 months. We see it.
Sure.
So it doesn't matter how much you have, you must keep track.
For sure.
And so those people who are able to stay wealthy and financially stable are able to do that because they count the pennies and the cents.
I hear you. I hear you. Yeah. All right. Number three, people don't have spending problems. They have emotional management problems.
I think yes and no.
Okay.
There are many reasons of why people do certain things, okay? And one of them can be because of emotions, but other things can be for other, but the spending can also be for other reasons. Let's go to the verses. Proverbs 23, verse 21. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe them in rags. Some people find themselves in a season in their life where they have an addiction problem. So maybe initially they were maybe spending the money on the food or whatever addiction that they have, but now they are physically addicted, and so they're spending it because now physically they need whatever they need. And so, yes, that may be one of the reasons where, you know, you've had a bad day, let me go and spoil myself. But that's not always the reason. And so I think, look, here I'll say it depends. It depends on the person.
Okay.
We may all do one thing, but for different reasons.
For different reasons. That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. The next one is, some people are just not budgeting types. It's not for everyone. Is this true?
You know, that sounds...
Is it a myth or it depends?
Man, that's a myth. That is such a myth. You know, just because you were not maybe raised with this or you had not come across it, it doesn't mean that you are not it.
Yeah.
The same, because there's some things in life that you just cannot go without. Yet, yes, for other people, it can come easier because maybe they grew up in a family that taught them this.
Yeah.
But for you, maybe you've been living your life without a budget and you've been doing okay. Now imagine if you actually had a budget, you would be flourishing. You see, so this is not for John and not for Jill. This is for everyone. You know, it's the same thing with people who say, hey, I mean, I don't like eating healthy, man. I don't like exercising. I don't think it's for me. Yes, it is for you. You just have to learn to like it. You just have to learn to accustom yourself to it. And when we started, we said it is a biblical principle to have a systematic approach to your finances. So if you're a Christian, the Lord has required you to not be impulsive, even in your giving. You must approach it in a way where you have determined in your heart and prayed and said, Lord, this is how much I want to give. And even we read that statement from Adventist Home, where even the children are to be taught on how to put money aside and have a systematic approach to finances. So especially if you're a child of God, you are to be a steward, a manager. You cannot just, you know, let things happen in jail. Or wing it, okay? You can't just wing it. You have to prayerfully and systematically manage your finances.
Kehu, I can't help but think about our neurodivergent brothers and sisters. So there's a lady I follow on Instagram, and she gives me so much perspective and insight into the mind of somebody with ADHD, right? And one of the things she has mentioned is that her, because of the way her brain functions, or maybe because of how differently her brain functions, she spends impulsively. And that is a trait among a lot of people with ADHD. So now, what do we, for you and I who are neurotypical, it's budget, do the thing. And I'm not saying they don't budget, but it's easier for us to stick to a budget. What about those who it's for some reason their brain doesn't quite compute like ours do, and they find themselves overspending because of that impulsivity?
There's definitely, you know, I don't want to say exceptions, but there are scenarios like that where somebody would need additional help than what, you know, we would need. So like me and you would just need, you know, some to do some research, maybe get a financial advisor, pray and help the Lord to help us. But for people who need maybe additional even therapy or whatever medical assistance, let them get that as well. So I don't want to negate the experience or invalidate what they're going through. But should you need additional help in order to live up to the ideal, because even though you may have certain struggles, and obviously, you know, the type of people that you're talking about, it's a very sensitive a subject, right? But should there be a possibility for them to reach the ideal with whatever added assistance that they can get, let that be the case. So what I'm trying to say is, if it is possible with additional help, then I think they should go for it still, despite maybe certain challenges that they may have.
Yeah.
Now, if it's totally beyond their abilities, I mean, there are people who are psychologically challenged to such an extent that, you know, it is what it is, then obviously that's a totally different discussion. And so there's a lot of grace for them, and that's where you would need that family assistance or whatever.
And that accountability.
To help you manage your money.
The accountability you spoke of as well.
Yeah, accountability, where somebody can has access to your account, somebody that you trust, who will help you to, when you have these thoughts, to sort of put certain controls in place so that you don't follow through with whatever you're thinking. So I guess the main point that I'm trying to say is, if there's additional assistance that they can get in order to reach the ideal, then I think they should seek that.
I love that. So, so thoughtful. I love it. I've got so many others, but I'll just do one more for the sake of time. Okay. This one says, we budget based on what we earn, but we spend based on what we believe about ourselves. Truth, myth, or it depends?
I think there's some truth to that. And I'm speaking from a personal place where, I went through a salary reduction because, you know, I had to change jobs, but initially it was difficult to switch because I was used to a much larger salary.
Yes.
And so, you know, having to reduce is like, no, man, I deserve Woody's apples. I can't eat. I'm even talking myself through it, like Woody's apples, they can eat the whole bag as opposed to apples from other shops, you know what I mean? And you're so used to a lifestyle, right? And so, but it's something that you have to talk yourself out of by God's grace, where you have to be realistic and accept that this is my life right now. And so I need to spend money based on where I am. And so by God's grace, he will help me. And that's why I want to go back to James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. When you have to make that mental switch and you know, reduce your expenses or change your lifestyle or change your budget to really reflect your life, the Lord can help you.
Oh, I love that so much.
To do that.
Love that so much. Kiru, we're out of time. In fact, we are over time. So let me take this opportunity to thank you for helping us make friends with our finances again. And I think more importantly, for showing us that order and joy and wealth can live on the same balance sheet. I think for me, that's the biggest takeout. So thank you for your time and your wisdom tonight.
Thank you for the opportunity. I hope people were okay with my approach.
I loved it. I hope it was great for everybody else. Have a lovely evening.
You too. Bye. Cheers.
My people, money doesn't have to be mysterious. And managing it doesn't have to be perfect either, but it has to be honest. We don't build wealth through one big move. We build it through many, many small decisions. What we've learned tonight is that when we stop guessing and start tracking, when we stop fearing the budgets and just start giving every rand purpose, that's when peace begins to rise and confidence follows closely behind. With that, I am Nompumelelo Lombonane, and I hope that you have just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now, my people. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.